Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
But Jalen Pope will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No. I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
I got this rat, this annoying, key-eating rat. And it brings up questions.
Something that you just want to go ahead and ask me, because I'll give you the answer, all right? Frank, look at me. Look at me. I'm not the rat, okay? I'm not the rat.
Start with you agree there is a rat.
You heard that. That was exclusive audio of Mike Vrabel sitting down with Phil Perry behind the scenes after that game. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Totally kidding.
I think it was better than Silvio and Adriana.
I think it was Andrew Callahan who actually had that report that I saw first, at least, about Kyle Duggar and Anthony Jennings being on the trade block. But you heard there at the top, Mike Vrabel is not happy about the leaks coming out of Foxborough right now. He does not like any kind of rat. And let me tell you something, Mike Vrabel. I don't think the rats, I think the rat is working for somebody else. I think whatever rat it is trying to...
It's an agent rat.
I think it's an agent rat, which is their job, okay? Like, to your perspective, that person's a rat. To their client's perspective, they're trying to get them in the best situation they can.
Yeah, and I think it's also a little bit of Vrabel trying to send a strong message, like, I'm not going to deal with this.
So
like, I don't want this from my guys. You know, it, almost an internal message in a little bit of a way.
Was
and
he
also
kidding?
His toying
How much
with the
was
media
he kidding?
Way. Yeah, like, he... always walks, and he's done that since he was a player here, where he'll get a serious point across, but he'll be half joking kind of when he does it sometimes, and other times he'll be serious.
It's a scary joke.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. Now I'm just thinking of all my favorite movies, and especially organized crime movies. It's like, I'm funny how. Funny how. Like, I'm a clown. Okay. Like, I'm a clown for you. Like, that's kind of the humor from Goodfellas that Vrabel gives, and it scares me. So when I hear that, like when I read that first before I heard the clip, I was like, oh, he's goofing around. He's got a little smirk on his face. Deadpan. Deadpan when he's saying that. And it terrifies me. And or look, I'll just say, I'm aware that before the game, when he went on one of the pregame programs with the station across the street, he was accusing somebody over there of reports that aren't true and putting that out there and kind of slapping that person around on air a little bit. And maybe that was a joke too. They're scary jokes. They're scary jokes. And that's what I think he's trying to do.
I think that's the point though, right?
Yeah.
Get the point across in a half joking way, but you get the point across. And I think that we talked about this when he was hired, right? Because everything with Bill, especially the last decade or so, was so serious. And then Mayo was way too loose. Can Vrabel kind
Mayo
of bridge
was
that?
Fast and loose with his media appearances.
Yeah, so can Vrabel bridge that gap? And this is, I think, his style and his way to do it. And I will say, too, on the quote-unquote reports, isn't it a little common sense? Like, they would be open to trading Duggar and Jennings? I mean, they're repping those guys with the second and third teams.
But that's, we're talking about a different level of things. Like, not to get into how the sausage is made, but you can say, I'm seeing Anthony Jennings, I'm seeing Kyle Duggar play into the final minutes of a fourth quarter preseason game. And you can say, my assumption is those guys are going to be on the move. Those guys are not high priority for the 53-man roster, regardless of what their cap hit, regardless of what their contracts say, you know, what they're costing the team. That's different than saying, I'm hearing sources tell me they are trying to move these guys. The second indicates that there's a real person attached to it on the phone telling you, yeah, they're dangling these guys out to teams. And there was a little more information from that from Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald, who said Kyle Duggar's contract is such a problem for other teams that it looks like, in my estimation, the best solution there, because if you cut Duggar at this point, It's going to be, I think, a $14 million dead cap hit.
Going
against
from rats
you.
To dead cats?
No, it's the wild kingdom over here. But that's going to kill you. Like, at that point, you might as well just keep his $15 million on the roster and see if he can do something fit in for your scheme. But the best solution would be find a trade partner. You probably have to take some of the money back, but you're at least getting something for him and unloading some of that cap space and that cash. But in terms of saying this is a source versus this is reading the situation, it seems like Vrabel is aggravated that he doesn't have full control over everybody knowing what's happening with the roster.
Yeah, which I think is every coach ever, maybe, too, and he's just expressing it this way. And look, I'm kind of like, I think with Duggar, and I would put Jennings in this category, I think it's either trade them or you keep them. Like, these, because we talk about Kyle Duggar's contract. Like, they signed Anthony Jennings to an extension last year as well.
Well, what's the alternative? And you're talking about cutting them?
Like, I think they're, I know you can say, okay, Duggar did not play well last year and he was hurt. Jennings is not as good of a scheme fit now in Terrell Williams' defense. I still think they have good enough traits that you can find a place for them in your like, if Kyle Duggar is your fourth safety and you use him in the box at times as kind of a linebacker.
But he's so expensive. Like,
But to me, that should be irrelevant.
But it's not. Right?
Like, you have $60 million in cap space. Your real cash spending is not as high. I mean, I know they spent a lot in the offseason.
Okay. And I don't want to get into, like, a whole...
Have the money to keep them around.
Well, I don't want to get into a whole debate about how real the cap is and what you can work around. But it helps you a lot if you can move $7 million of Duggar to another team. When we're talking about making moves... Like, hey, if you could get a Terry McLaurin, you're probably not going to, but if you could. If you could get a Trey Hendrickson, you're probably not going to, but if you could. If you could get a Micah Parsons, you're probably not going to, but if you could. If you move one of those guys, if you move Kendrick Bourne, these guys have such sizable contracts for the following year that then that opens up the space where you don't hear anymore about how is this going to age 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when you have somebody who's 32 or 34 at that point. Like, who cares? You have, to your point, you have the space this year. You also have to look down the line a little bit. I understand that. This makes it much easier.
Yeah, and I think Duggar's contract, though, it's easy to get out of after this year. Like, you could keep him for this year, get out of it after the year, because I do think long-term, their safety group is Woodson, Hawkins, and probably Peppers, and then maybe someone else coming.
Did you make anything of Peppers playing so much as he did last night?
So I thought that was more to get him reps with Woodson together, because those guys have practiced a lot together, but they haven't had a ton of preseason game reps together. Because you notice, they started, but then they got pulled pretty quickly. I think it was, after the second series, they both got pulled. So to me, that was more about getting them game reps, because Hawkins played with Peppers a bunch last year.
Peppers didn't play in Minnesota much.
Right. And like last year, Hawkins and Peppers played together. Like Woodson and Hawkins have played together. Even Woodson, Hawkins, and Duggar have played together. But that Woodson-Peppers combination hasn't had as much game. So I didn't really read into that. I thought it was them trying to get them game action together.
Back to the Vrabel comments. Is this Vrabel... I'm trying to... He's had a couple of these instances now where it feels like it's a little beyond smacking somebody on the nose with a rolled up newspaper. Like, it feels a little bit beyond that. And I know that, as we talked about, he's snarky. He has a sense of humor. Everything he's doing is with intention. But it does feel like he is trying to proactively communicate, we are not going to be a leaky ship. We are not going to have this crap out to the media, and that he doesn't like it. And something like Jalen Polk's shoulder injury, like, that's not I don't know that having that come out before the team announces it. Like, I don't think that's the biggest, crime against the control of the team or messaging. It's not like it's something trade related or anything like that.
I think it's more just trying to nip things in the bud and a message to his own team. Because if you remember, right when they had Bill, he would be like, well, I don't know where that report came from. And that's all he'd say. But then maybe somebody would get cut later on and you'd be like, oh. Or there was like Ben Watson held out for a while, and then they didn't do business with his agent for like 5 more years, which was like they were like, we're not talking to this guy. And then Mayo let everything go. With Vrabel, I think he is trying to take that middle of the road, doing it in this half-joking way. But it's funny, it's a half joking way, but I think the mentality is very similar to Bill. Like, it's a different style, but he's like, I don't want you guys talking to me. I don't want you saying anything.
Same
I don't
joke,
want this.
Different delivery.
Yeah, basically, in a way where it's just, again, maybe a different style, but the overall message is don't talk to these people. Don't let your agent talk to these people. And I don't want
but
stuff.
But that's the agent's job.
It is, right? And there's only so much that you can prevent an agent from saying, or if the player tells his brother-in-law and that guy tells someone. Like, there's only so much, but I think he's like, this is an opportunity for him to use it as an example and be like, this Polk thing or what, like these trade block things, like, we're not going to do this here while I'm here. Maybe it's a little bit of an overcorrection from how open they were. They were too open last year with the media, so maybe it's a little bit of an overcorrection too.
So, and I do want to go back because I got my pissed off Mike Vrabel instances a little twisted. The clip that we played at the top was about the Jalen Polk injury when he got mad at the host on the other station in the pregame show. It was about the Anthony Jennings and the Kyle Duggar reports that came out that I saw from Andrew Callahan. I think he's probably more upset about that kind of thing than the injury thing. I don't know. Maybe he feels sensitive about guys' injuries. I think overall, I do wonder how much of this is setting up and continued a little bit of an out of an us versus them with some media. Like, I think that Mike Vrabel, it seems like he really respects a smart way about the media. Like, trying to be deliberate, trying to be insightful, trying to connect the fans to the team in a way that's like rewarding. And he's worked in the media before, so it's not like he's a total stranger. It's not like the second half of Bill Belichick's time here where it was, that's the enemy, you know? I don't think it's quite that far, but I do think part of it is, hey, I have seen some of the guys on this team shoot their mouths off in a way that was really not constructive for the team and spun into a lot of chaos at the end of last year. Thinking specifically about Jelani Tavai. Yeah.
Keon White even, too.
Keon White. Look, the other day, like, I saw this out on Twitter a little bit. Kayshawn Booty was asked about Drake May, kind of setting him up. Hey, what are you seeing that's nice about Drake May this year? One of these questions. And he's like, I can't talk about Drake May. That's about him. And they're like, well, what about your connection with him? Not going to talk about, no, I can't talk about him. People are like, why isn't he talking about Drake May? Because he is scared to say something wrong and have Mike Vrabel and his company yell at him. Like, it was so bad, so loosey-goosey this year. It feels like maybe it's a little bit of an overcorrection, but I think Mike Vrabel would probably be much more comfortable with that than having Jelani Tavai, you know, snap at the fans at the end of the season on air.
Yeah, and I still prefer, like, the direction Vrabel, and obviously, like, I work in the media, so it's good content for us, but for the team, I prefer more kind of the track Vrabel's taking as opposed to last year.
Like, definitely.
Last year, sometimes there was a vibe that it was like, we can do whatever we want. There's no one
and
really.
And it was like totally you mentioned Kayshawn
Booty,
control.
Like, he questioned the scheme after, I think, that Buffalo game last year on the road. Like, it's like, okay, dude, like, relax. And it felt like it was just way too loose last. So I'd much rather this than what we saw last year.
Textline says Vrabel is a control freak with a huge ego, dressed in different clothes than Bill Belichick. Do you get the feeling that Vrabel's ego is that big?
I think the control freak aspect,
I agree with that,
is not that far off from
that's
Bill.
That's what a good
and
head coach
also,
has
that's
to
that's a
be.
Lot of head coach. Right. Like,
show me a head coach who isn't a control freak, and I'll show you somebody who's on the hot seat.
I don't know if it's weird, too, because the Bill ego thing evolves so much over the years. Like, he always had an ego, but like,
because I don't know who he was in 2000.
Like, if you go back to 2000, 2001, at least publicly, it was a similar but not exactly the same presentation. It really shifted after Spygate. Then he was just like, I hate the media, I hate everyone.
But that's different than ego. That's like opposition.
But it was almost like, I'm smarter than you guys, I'm better than you guys, I don't, and now I don't like
you. A lot of time he was.
Which, exactly.
That's the thing, is like, there is some people do have self-awareness of, clearly you know more football than I do.
Right.
But it's my job to ask questions that people are curious about.
Like, I think with Vrabel, like, Bill didn't want anyone asking him questions for the most part. I think with Vrabel, it comes down to, if, and you know this, like, you're down there all the time, those, like, stupid questions that get asked, or those, like, softball, I don't think he's really, he doesn't want any of those. If you ask him real questions, though, I think you'll get real, like, if you ask Bill about a left-footed punter, he'd give you a 10-minute answer because he wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
If you ask Vrabel, I think, real thoughtful questions, I think for the most part, you'll get a real answer.
Or just something that is curious to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of, to your point, people asking Bill questions, some of it was he knew that it wasn't going to serve him in any way to answer the direct question. And then some of it was like, once in a while, it's something that he is passionate about and it is curious. And then you can't get him to stop talking.
Like when they changed the kickoff rules, he went on about it for like 10 or 15 minutes. Yes. One press conference.
Yes. We all know the monologue that he gave on long snappers.
Yes.
And that was just going to go down in history.
Yeah. The Mona Lisa Vito of air pressure too. Another classic.
But I mean, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was, I was
watching that on TV.
Did
I was like cheering.
Did he sit down and write that? You know,
that was great.
That's and like actually when you watch reality TV and some of these, which I wouldn't recommend, but we all have our vices. When once in a while you can tell the producers write one of these dum-dums a line like, she conditioned, she can't take it, you can't take the heat, get the out of the kitchen, blah, blah, blah. And it's like so dumb and hokey. Yeah. You know, somebody would never say that. But this is the opposite where it's so good. I feel like Bill had to write down some lines before that press.
That was. But I think Vrabel is going to err towards more towards Bill, but not go all the way.
I might be naive. I don't think he's an egomaniac.
I think there's a...
I think he's prideful.
Ego. There's an ego there, but it's a... The dude's won 3 Super Bowls as a player and been a coach of the year. Like, I get it a little bit.
Like,
it's
is
just,
he
you don't
humble?
Want it to become hubris.
No. Like, who's that's humble thing. In pro sports?
I think there was a time...
Besides Derek White.
I think there was a time over the last 5 years with Bill, it became a little hubristic. Whereas with Vrabel, if you can get to that line but not be hubris, I'm okay with it.
He's also saying the right things in terms of he knows that he hasn't done it as a coach here.
Right.
And that people are not very happy with where the franchise has been for the last several years.
That's true.
So, anyway, we are going to continue our Patriots talk. Got a little indicator about what may be happening over the next couple weeks before the start of the season. Your 53-man roster that you're getting next week on cutdown day, is that going to be the roster that you see on opening day? Are they going to be in on any of these trades? We heard a little bit last night that indicates, hey, stay tuned because there's going to be some serious movement around the league and expect the Patriots to be in on it. We'll get into that right after trending.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
How busy will the next 5 days be for this team? How surprised will fans be? Do they need to keep refreshing their phones if they want to keep abreast of what the Patriots are up to? Or is it going to be kind of quiet?
I think they're going to be busy. I think this is going to be an 8. I think you're going to see a couple of high-profile trades of players out, and I could see... Potentially. Who knows? I mean, got some big name guys out there, Tom, that are still looking for contracts.
There could be a big ticket item?
I've been saying I would do all the big ticket items. I mean, you obviously can't do them all. But, like, sure. Be interested in them. Make those calls. Have those conversations.
Phil Perry on Tommy Curran's Patriots Talk podcast from NBC Sports Boston. Saying on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of big trades, Patriots are an 8. Now, does that mean, like, a flurry of many different little trades to improve the roster that depth-wise looked atrocious last night? Technically, they lost that game 42-10. It was a preseason game where 35 of their starters, or just 35 of their top-line players, did not suit up whatsoever. We got a lot of Woolridge, which I saw far too much that I don't need to see again. I mean, we haven't even seen anywhere near that much of him in training camp practices. So that was the full experience. After last night, do you feel like, John Lyons, I'll start here, that the Patriots need to seriously reconsider the depth pieces that they have? And even some of these guys who played a lot last night, Jabril Peppers, Keon White, Kyle Duggar, Anfernee Jennings, how they fit into being backups on this team. Keon White and Jabril Peppers, maybe a little bit of a different instance, but certainly some of these other guys who were once considered starters or huge pieces, especially of the defense.
their depth is a problem. And it's part of where they're at in their rebuild, right? Like, they finally have quality starters, but they don't have really any quality depth, at least at a lot of positions. Like, you feel good about Hunter Henry at tight end. Do you feel good what's behind him? I mean, Jaheim Bell was part of that pick six
last
night.
Jack Westover?
He's okay, but, like, that's the thing. He's an okay, maybe makes the team as a third tight end guy.
It's kind of hard to see him on the field with in an NFL actual game.
And that's just, like, and then that's just one position. Like, linebacker, you feel really good about Spillane. Do you feel that good about Christian Ellis if he has to start a bunch of games? And give it, like, do you feel really good about that? Like, a defensive tackle, you feel really good about Barmer and Milton Williams. Do you feel good about what's behind that? Like, really good about what's behind them? Depth, like, that's the issue on this team. Like, we talk about Will Campbell at left tackle. Well, they're right now, their second best tackle has been Marcus Bryant, another rookie, seventh rounder. I know Morgan Moses will have that starting spot at right tackle when the season actually starts, but that's it. Like, their depth just isn't there. I mean, look at receiver. Like, I know we spent half of yesterday's show talking about the greatness of Efton Chisholm.
Okay, that's an exaggeration. I'm not sitting here saying Efton Chisholm is great. Like, people are going over the top with the Efton Chisholm stuff. No, I need a second here, okay? I was early on Efton Chisholm making the roster. In OTAs, he looked great. And everyone said, pump the brakes. Andy Hart yelled at me and said, that's not real. He's going to be another one of these guys who comes through and he's a training camp superstar, blah, blah, never goes anywhere. I mean, maybe at best he'll be Braxton Berrios and some other team figures out that he's actually good after you release him. Efton Chisholm is good, and he should make the team, but I'm also not here for the people going totally over the top saying he's the next Julian Edelman. He's going to be a Super Bowl MVP. Like, can we meet somewhere in the middle here and say that the kid is good, and can I say that, and can I champion him being on the 53-man without having the person back me up be like, and he's the next Edelman, and he's Amendola. Like, he's shaped like an Amendola. He's of an Amendola-like shape, but we need to quote others on Drake May, we need to pump the brakes here a little bit, guys. Be excited about the kid without sounding like a lunatic. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, just check it. All right. Look, the point is in a good receiver, like, if they had a really deep, good receiver room, does he make a roster in a room like that? Does Mac Hollins make a roster in a room like that, right? Like, that's the thing here is that there you feel good about Stephon Diggs and DeMario Douglas. And I like Kyle Williams a lot, but he is a rookie. And,
got a lot of drops.
And it's like, do you feel really good about Mac Hollins? Do you, like, Efton Chisholm, there's a lot to
Let me put it this way to you, because we can go through every roster group. And I will say the text line is upset that I keep calling you John Lyons.
That
I
is
know.
My name.
I don't know why.
Actually, a lot of people do
that.
Are
you
to
one
me.
Of those first and last name people?
A lot of people, especially, I don't know why, especially women do that to me
okay,
a lot.
Okay, so I can just call you Lyons, because when I say John,
yeah,
I feel
called
like
a lot worse.
I feel like it's very formal.
Yeah, I've been called a lot worse. But the overall point here, you feel good about a lot of their starters. But as last night showed, the depth isn't there. And part of that is they've drafted mostly poorly for the last 8 years.
There's two areas I feel good about their depth. Cool. Clearly running back.
Okay.
Running back,
yeah,
but
all right, running
that's
back.
A position that you rotate and cycle through anyway.
Yeah.
So I feel good about the running back depth. I feel good about the returner depth.
And I would
between
say
punt returner and kickoff returner.
I would add corner to that with Gonzalez Davis, Alex Austin, Marcus
that's
Jones,
something that we've
DJ
kinda,
James.
Like, we've kind of learned because they had
yeah.
to, right?
But like, that's a good group to me. But yeah, there's a lot of other groups that they don't have. That, so then it goes to what Phil Perry was talking about.
You can just call him Phil. You don't have to call him Phil Perry.
Well, just, you know, setting it up.
I'm saying, you know, the first and last names are really annoying people.
I know.
I'm just picking on you.
So, Megan Ottolini.
It's a mouthful.
Going back to what Phil said, though, is there tackle options on the waiver wire that are better than Vidarian Lowe?
Probably not.
Like, that's the issue, because we can sit here and say, hey, Vidarian Lowe was really bad last year, and we don't want him to be anywhere near a starting lineup, or even, really, right now, he's your fourth tackle at best. But the point is, are you going to find someone out there that's better than him? Are you going to find...
Is somebody better than DeMontre Jacobs? Like, these are who we're talking about.
But that's the issue. Like, on the waiver wire, like, is there a linebacker out there that is much better than Christian Ellis? Like, maybe, I don't know. But, like, that's the issue at this time of year, because all the guys that we're talking about here that we think, hey, they're on the bubble, that's the similar quality of player that every other team is talking about. And maybe some of those teams with better depth, like if the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Eagles cut a guy, mm-hmm. he's probably going to be better than a guy that the Patriots cut. So can you target a guy on a team like that? Maybe so.
Well, this part of the show is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Let's go to a call, 617-779-7937. If you want to jump on the phones and talk about the Patriots' depth, what moves you'd like to see them make before they set the 53-man roster, or even after that, trying to figure out depth for this team or improve their starters as well. Here is Paul in Abington. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Saying I still have this team predicted for me at either 7-10 or 8-9. If they go 9-8, I will think that that was a very, very good year. Because there's a lot of people out there talking, oh, they could win the division, they games. And if they're going to win that many games, then they would have to have, in my belief, just as you're hitting on, much better depth. And I'm going to just pinpoint on one name you've already just brought up. If Matt Collins makes this team, and he probably will, but if he makes this team, then that shows what lack of depth they truly have. No knock on him. He was good 4 or 5 years ago, and I wouldn't even say he was good, but he's had a couple of decent seasons. That's it. He's on the tail end of his career, and that's just one name. I would go wholeheartedly in on any of the big three, I guess you're talking about, either Parsons, Henriksen, or McLaren, preferably McLaren at this point in time. But I'd go in on any of those three. If they got two out of the three, even all the more power to them. But this team is a 7-win, 8-win team at maximum for me right now.
Thank you, Paul. I think that's kind of a reasonable idea.
Yeah, I'm at 9. But
not
like
the Matt Collins
about,
part, but I say 7-9.
Yeah.
Like 7. 7 would be disappointing to me, but it would be real. It would be.
And even that would be a 3-game improvement over last year.
But here's the thing.
Actually, it'd really be a 4.5-game improvement over last year.
Last year sucked. And the year before that sucked horribly. I don't think it's fair to ask people to go from how bad it was the last 2 years to settle for being slightly under average and say, look, it's progress. It's progress.
But they were so bad last year that even if they're, and I wouldn't be happy about this, but even if they are below average, that would be a step forward, like a pretty big one. I mean, think about how bad, like really bad they were. Like, I know they lost a close game to Seattle and a close game to Tennessee, but like, okay, you lose to Tennessee, they're one of the worst teams in the league. All those other bad games, like San Francisco blowing you out, like all these other the Chargers, who 2 years ago beat you 6-0, then they come into Foxborough and blow you out. Like all those bad losses. The Jacksonville Jaguars running the ball 18 straight times against you. I mean, we don't need to go through the whole litany.
Yes,
but like,
let's not.
They were so bad. The Colts with a 19-play drive.
Okay,
to win a game,
we just said we were not going to. We get it. They were really, really
bad.
But I think,
so even if you're below average, that's a step forward. And again, I won't be happy with that.
I think the expectations are higher. And
They should be a little higher.
You know what?
But.
I'm officially moving. I'm no longer 7-9. I'm 8-9.
Okay.
I'm moving by one game. I think they should be at least an 8-win team. I know that's a big ask. That's a big ask. But if Mike Vrabel's going to be sniffing out rats and yelling at everybody, or he's not yelling. He didn't raise his voice. But if he's going to be scaring the crap out of us in post-game press conferences, I want this an 8-win team.
Yeah, and I think that's where the schedule comes into play. But that's also where the depth comes into play, because if you lose, God forbid, Hunter Henry for 4 or 5 games, then we're having maybe a different conversation about or Will Campbell or Travion Henderson. We're having a different conversation because they have so little quality depth.
Let's grab another call here. This is Jim in Peabody. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, Miguel. Love hearing your voice back on the radio, man.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm so disappointed in what they did with this offensive line. They stink, number one, and they have no depth. And you know people are going to get hurt. People get hurt. Everybody gets hurt. That's what happens. Receivers are going to go down. The old line's going to go down. I'm 5-6 wins if they're lucky.
All right. Thank you, Jim. So much lower expectations from Jim. With the offensive line, I don't, like, what more would you have them do?
The problem is they were so bad, it's a multi-year thing. Like, they added the left tackle. I think they added the left guard.
They wanted Ronnie
Wilson.
Stanley. He didn't even make it to free agency.
Yeah, like, it's a multi-year thing. It's going to take another offseason.
I
just
don't
want
to make excuses for them. Look, right. if they drafted the wrong left tackle,
that's
if
on them.
Josh Simmons Jr., one of these other guys, I know some of them played right tackle that were drafted right after him, so it's not one-to-one.
Kelvin Banks, big dog.
If those guys are able to be really effective starters right away this year and the year after that become, you know, Pro Bowlers, then I think you can say what a terrible decision they made with the offensive line. Like, you can see that if those guys are really good left tackles and Will Campbell turns out to be a really good left guard, like, I think you screwed up. But right now, I don't know how many other options they had, unless you're going to complain about them not being in on Laremy Tunsil and not knowing that he was going to be available for a trade, which I might say fair. Like, why didn't you have that intel?
And then
but
the trade-off,
the
though, is if you get Tunsil, maybe you don't have Travion Henderson, right? Like, maybe you're trading that second-round pick to get Tunsil.
Well, would you have done that? Would you take Tunsil over Travion Henderson?
I'd take Campbell and Henderson over just Tunsil, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we're
unless
just
so I guess if you get Tunsil, maybe then you can
draft
Ashton Jeanty or something in the first. I mean, you can go through that butterfly effect, which I guess is fair to do. But, like, I think it's just that offensive line was so bad. And this is something they've tried to address. Like, Cole Strange might not make the team. Sidy Soule might not make the team. They drafted those guys in 2022 and 2023 to start on the offensive line, and neither one might make the team. They drafted Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson last year. Neither one of them might make the team, or maybe one out of the two. Like, it's not like they haven't tried in recent years. They've just missed so much that, to me, this is a multi-offseason rebuild on the O-line. And I know no one wants to hear that, but I think that this is a multi-year offensive line. So I think they got the left tackle and the left guard, but they don't have the center and they don't have the right tackle of the future either.
And we so often hear that the only way to really build these teams are through the draft. Yes, you can get some help through free agency. You can certainly find high-level players through trades, but let's examine some of the recent drafts, because we thought the drafting problems were over once Bill Belichick wasn't GM anymore, right? Isn't that why he lost the job?
Yeah.
Because he was so bad at drafting at the end? Well, it looks like last year's class, outside of course, Drake May, it might be a tough look for these guys. We're going to hit that right after this break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Very active text line, which I love to see. If you want to join in that way to the show, 617-779-7937 is now the number over the last couple months for the text line, as well as if you want to call on the show, tell everybody that you want to see Matt Collins cut. By the way, I didn't get to really address that because we were talking so much other stuff. I don't think Matt Collins should get cut.
No, that's, and his skill set, 6'4", like, no one else has, because I think they will cut Baker. No one else is going to have that.
He has total height priority. Yeah. Like, he has height privilege, I should say.
And he's worked with Josh before, which I think, especially if they move on from Bourne or Bourne goes on IR, I think that does matter that he's worked with Josh before. And again, just positional fit. Not a lot of guys have that. The measurables.
I do think people look at Hollins' stats and they're like, this is such a jag guy, like, yeah, just a guy. Why do we have him here and paying him like $3.5 million guaranteed? But I think Drake has targeted him a lot. I think he'll be good in the red zone, which you need. And I don't think he's stealing a roster spot from somebody who is not going to be on the team or would be a practice squad player. That would be, like, so devastating not to have on here. I mean, look, Javon Baker last night was tough. It was tough out there for Javon. He looked really bad, and he looks like he's gone. Yeah. He looks like he's gone. It's unfortunate because he promised a big promise when he was drafted on draft night and said some wild stuff, and he has a lot of natural talent, and he just didn't get it, absolutely didn't get it the first season at all. And now he's behind, and he just looks like he's somebody who I would say is probably gone.
Yeah. I mean, just again, you look at that receiver group, and it's Diggs is a no-brainer, obviously, Douglas, Booty, Hollins, Kyle Williams, and then Efton Chisholm. Like, are you really going to keep more than six guys? Like, I don't see that. You might have to keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen. I'm not keeping more than six receivers.
So I talked before about the drafts, and of course the drafts have been a problem in New England for like a decade at this point.
Yeah, you know, quick trivia question. You know the last time they gave a first-round pick a second contract? This is good.
A first-round pick?
A first-round draft pick getting a second contract from the Patriots. You know the last guy?
Gonzalez will get it in the future, I don't want to have dead air right now, so just tell me.
Donta Hightower. Drafted him in 2012.
That's wild.
Nuts, because Malcolm Brown, Dominique Easley, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, N'Keal Harry, none of those guys. Mac
Yikes.
Jones, Cole Strange. That's been their first round pick since.
That is really tough. Yeah. That is tough.
2012.
Good call, John. Yeah.
Our producer, Zach Coe, was in like preschool. Like, damn.
Is that true, Zach Coe?
I was 13.
You were 13?
Wow. You were born in 1999? Good for
yes.
You. Hell yeah,
it's
man.
It's a good year to be born in.
Best decade ever, the 90s.
Shout out to you for getting in on the 90s. Here's the 2024 draft. Let's go through this quickly. What you're thinking about it. Obviously, Drake May is a hit. Like, whether you have doubts that he's an absolute, you know, top 10 quarterback, that's fine. But I think right now, as we're sitting here, you can say that he's a hit. Jalen Polk is on IR, as we learned yesterday.
Would have got cut, though.
So I think he would have gotten cut. I think he still might get cut next year. So it's very tough on-ramp for him through the NFL. I'm willing to say that's a miss.
Yeah.
So he got a hit and a miss.
Traded out of Ladd McConkey.
Go to Caden Wallace. Might be a depth piece, hasn't showed himself to be of starter capability, hasn't solved any of your problems, trending a little bit more towards a miss than a hit to me. Layden Robinson, again, depth piece at best, somebody who came in with a lot of attributes that people were excited about, saying this could be somebody who helps out online, and closer to a miss than a hit, in my opinion, unless he really develops
I think out of Wallace and Robinson, one of those guys makes the team. And I think
this
it's Wallace.
Year.
Yeah, and I think it's Wallace.
You think it's, yeah,
I think Wallace. As like their ninth offensive lineman.
Great. All right, so you have your ninth offensive lineman. Yeah. Do we say there's two hits there? Do we count a ninth offensive lineman
eight-win
team?
We call it a hit and a half? Is that allowed?
A hit and a half. Javon Baker, absolute miss. He's gone. Marcellus Dial, injured.
I still think he's also, like, he would have been their fifth corner at best.
Yeah, but John, you just went through the last segment bitching about how there wasn't enough
depth. No, but I said their corner group is the one group that, I think, has
depth. Okay. So you say maybe he could have been a trade piece.
Maybe.
Maybe he could have been like a trade for a seventh round pick somewhere. Fine. He's injured. I think you can put him more in the miss category.
Yeah, I would agree.
Joe Milton. So you traded Joe, and there's the Joe Milton experience that Ken Laird, our boss, is following very carefully down in Dallas.
He's not that good.
So he's not. I'm not worried about trading the sixth round backup QB pick away. I know that that's been a heroic position in the past, but not this guy. But would you call that a hit or a miss? Because you did trade him and get something back.
I almost want to say irrelevant. Like, I would lean miss because...
Like neutral?
Yeah, because you got something back for him, but he wasn't that good. And he won you the one game you wanted to lose.
Yeah,
so,
that's
week 18.
You know what? That, I was about to say, I'm going to give it to the Patriots because I feel like to be nice to give them another hit. But maybe you make a good point.
And I will say,
winning that last game was so much worse than trading him and what you got back.
And they drafted him to be the backup quarterback behind May, and he is not that. Really, if you think what they drafted
whose fault is that?
What they drafted him for, he is not. So
this is true. Okay, Jaheim Bell.
Miss.
Yeah, big
won't
depth piece.
Let you finish the sentence. That's a miss.
Okay, so that's so far. I mean, we have 1.5 hits from last year's draft.
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, why don't you wait 2 or 3 years to evaluate and grade the draft class? The Patriots don't have that luxury. And none of these guys look like, quote, developmental in my book outside of maybe Caden Wallace.
And you should wait 2 or 3 years to evaluate a draft
Not
class.
Not for wide receivers anymore.
But the problem is, if they're cutting the guys, that's kind of the final grade, right? Like, you know what I mean? And I remember... This is back in January. Fitzy and I had Chad Graff on the Night Show, and he talked to people in the Patriots front office, and they felt this was a good draft, and those guys were all coached poorly last year. Mm. Well, now you got, and that opened my, I was like, okay, let's, but now you have Vrabel and McDaniels and Terrell Williams and Doug Murray. You have a good coaching staff, and those guys still, I mean, are any of, Drake May's gotten better. Have any of these other guys gotten better that are still here? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. So maybe they're just, it wasn't a good draft.
Maybe not. All right. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, I'm going to bring back one of my favorite segments because it has my name in it. This is a segment we used to do called Meg Splaining at the noontime hour. There's a movement in Boston, and I guess it happens every summer. It returns next week. People are going topless. Are you in favor, John Lyons? Don't answer. Don't answer. Leave the people waiting. On the other side, we're going to talk about Topless Day coming to Boston next week. What's behind this? It's a lot weirder than you might think. It's not just about getting naked. There's some pretty weird movement behind this movement. Yes, movement. Take that how you will. Right after this break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.